Hi, this is David Sweet, founder of Focus Core, and I'd like to invite you to take a look at our 2024 salary guide. It's a great resource for hiring APAC professionals wanting to know about the salaries for executive positions within Japan, as well as finding out information of what's important to attract the best talent in Japan. The salary guide is found on our website under About Salary Guide 2024. I hope you find this information useful for you and your company. Now, on to our podcast.
If you have the right mindset, you will have the skills later on.
Good day. Welcome to the Focus Core podcast. My name is David Sweet, founder and CEO of Focus Core. And today I'm very pleased to welcome my colleague, Hisato Wakaizumi, who many of you have probably seen who's from on LinkedIn, who's been doing exceptional job with many, many webinars and is very prolific on social media and an exceptional recruiter to boot. So welcome, Hisato.
Thank you, David. Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. So I guess for those who don't know you, kind of give us an introduction, a path to your current position.
Okay. So my name is Hisato. I was born and raised in Tokyo. And I went to the college in the United States. And after that, I did a little bit of tennis coaching in Florida. And I came back to Japan, worked for the company called Yonex, that's tennis and badminton company, and moved to Focus Core after Yonex. And I'm doing finance and accounting consultant. And it's been 3 years and 4 months. So far, I've been enjoying this job so far.
That's great. Counting the days, counting the days. Hey, you're my second tennis player that I've had on here. We had William Neely was on, and we talked a lot about tennis. So,
oh really?
And I know we also share the Florida connection because you were in Florida. Where were you at in Florida?
Naples.
Beautiful spot on the planet.
Oh yeah,
gorgeous. And who are you teaching tennis to?
All the levels, like kids, from kids to adults. Yeah. Sometimes I was coaching like 95 years old lady, and sometimes I was coaching 3 years old kid.
Nice. That's brilliant. So you've taken, so tennis, I think, is a great kind of metaphor for what we do in consulting. Mm. How would you, take that mindset that you've put in sport and tennis and you put that on top of what you're doing for your current position in consulting? What do you take from that?
So I think I love coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I love coaching sports, but in general, I love coaching people and see how they change their life and change or grow their skills and stuff. So like when I was coaching tennis, I love to see like people getting better at tennis. But when I'm doing consultant at Focus Core, I love to help people change their life.
Mm.
And I love to support that. So that's the connection I have between this job, the current job, and the tennis coach.
That's great. Yeah, so much coaching goes on in what we do. And we forget, I think, how transformative. I mean, transformative is a big word in the coaching world. But when you're coaching a person to change jobs, there's nothing more transformative than moving from one career to another, right? It's amazing. Right. What's one thing in this recruitment business that you didn't expect?
didn't expect. To be honest with you, like, I didn't expect this job to be this fun. I have been enjoying this.
Yeah.
Before you start, you might think, you know, like, oh, I can make money by introducing people. That's easy, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I like talking with people. I'm good at connecting people, and it's easy, you know.
Yeah.
But when you actually start doing this job, this is more than what you expect. And this is very challenging. You have to understand the candidates, you have to understand your clients, and you know, there's a lot to learn for me. So that's why I've been enjoying.
Yeah, I think that's I meet a lot of people that say, oh, I'm really good at connecting people and networking. So my friends say I should be a recruiter. And I just shake my head and think, well, maybe I should be a lawyer. I don't, because I'm good at talking. No, it doesn't. There's a lot that goes into what we do. So, which I think a lot of people come into this career and they don't expect it. What's a common myth about recruitment for you that you found?
Yeah, so kind of, I mean, the same as the last one, you know. Okay. Like, people think this is easy, but you know, due to the reason I said, it's not. Yeah, so this is very challenging and this is very interesting job.
What's your biggest challenge you're facing in your role right now?
Yeah, so I always challenge myself, how can I give more value to our clients and our candidates? And that's the biggest challenge I've been facing. And not only supporting changing jobs, I've been trying to give value by, you know, providing information. So like having webinars and writing LinkedIn articles and posting on LinkedIn. Yeah, so doing that, like, the biggest challenge is provide more value and be different from other recruiters, be above them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you give a lot of insights, I feel, from a lot of work that you do on social media. Let's dive into what you have done. One of the webinars that was wonderful with you had some speakers from Wella Japan, from Virtusize, from MM Capital Partners, and the insights I thought were for finance professionals quite profound and insightful. One of the people you spoke to was Mariko Yamabe. Son at Wella. And she talked at looking at, as a finance professional, looking at things conceptually and simplifying complex information. How do younger potential CFOs learn this in Japan, do you think?
So to learn, I think from what I learned from all the CFOs on the webinar, I think you need to have skill set to see things in a big picture. And also you need to have various experiences in different environment. So like, if you look at CFO's profile that spoke in webinars, they all have variety of experiences. And sometimes they're experience in different companies and different industries, and sometimes their experience in one company but in a different environment in the company. So some of them been to overseas as an expat, and yeah, so by having that kind of different experience, they grow skill to see things conceptually.
If you're a young finance professional in Japan, from your conversations, do you think it's necessary for them to have overseas experience to be able to be a CFO at an international company in Japan?
Not necessary, but it's definitely a good experience. Okay. Because sometimes if you work for foreign companies, it's subsidiaries, but when you go to HQ in overseas, you get to learn much more things than in Japan. You could cut this part.
No, I think that's important. That's good advice, even if you're not Japanese, right? Mm-hmm. If HQ is in London and you're working in Australia, it makes sense to go to HQ and make those relationships, literally having the experience. I know when early in my career, when I was working for the US government, we believed that anytime you travel to a different office, you learn something. It was the most important because you would always bring back creative new ways of doing things because no matter what you do, any field office is going to be different.
Right.
Well, one of the things that I in listening to Yamabe-san talking about simplifying and potential CFOs, I see overseas young people can even sometimes late 20s can be a head of finance or early 30s. We had one client in Japan who globally wanted to hire 20s and 30-year-olds for their C-suite, for their leadership. I had lunch yesterday with a head of a Fortune 500 company who was in their 30s. But in Japan, this doesn't happen. It seems like there's no way you're going to get a CFO in a Japanese company in their 20s. It's just, why do you think from your experience and the professionals you've talked to, do you think it's so late in Japan compared to other places in the world?
I think that's because as a base, Japan still has the mindset of changing job is a bad thing. And CFOs that I met who's talented, who's always improving their skills, are open to their challenges. It doesn't matter if it's outside of the company, inside of the company, but they're open to get info, open to build network, and open to have new challenges. So that's why they had the progress career always, and that's why they became CFOs. Yeah, so it's important to be open for your improvements all the time, I think.
If you're in, one of the things that I notice in Japan is you have the tradition of changing different positions within a company, this kind of job rotation. And I know that some people, I've met a CFO that started their career in marketing, right? Whereas in, for example, in the US, you start out, you study finance and you go in and you're going to be a specialist and you're just going to work your whole career. Do you think that lends itself to some of the slowing down of young people being able to progress into a leadership position in that special, not specializing, but rather generalizing?
Could be, yeah. Most of the Japanese company have kind of the system to rotate their specialty. So even if they're good at finance, they will be moved to, for example, HR department. And then people change jobs because of that sometimes, right?
Yep.
So, and Japanese companies are changing their style slowly, but some of them. as a job, how do you say, job oriented.
Mm.
So I think it's important once they find something passionate about their job, it's important to build career in that specialty.
Yep. Yeah, I know when I was, again, going back to working HR with the government, we learned different specializations within HR. So, you know, doing staffing, doing comp and ben, learning labor relations, employee development. So we all were generalists, but we knew HR. And I know Yamabe-san also mentioned getting the basics, right? Accounting, tax, treasury, controlling, internal control. What's kind of your assessment after interviewing so many CFOs of young people being conscious of getting those basics?
Mm. So even though like Yamabe-san mentioned kind of like basics on skills, I would like to focus on the soft skills because this is very interesting. Like when I was planning the webinar, I asked the CFOs to talk about what they think it's important to have to become CFOs. I didn't mention anything about it needs to be soft skill, it needs to be hard skills. Yeah. And then all the CFOs mentioned about soft skills. So they all said, like, it was agreed in the meeting, like, they're like, if you have the right mindset, you will have the skills later on. So I think it's important to have the right mindset.
Jonathan Count and I were doing a podcast and there was the same thing that he was doing surveys with leaders and it was, you know, soft skills were the important things.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned a couple of things that are, let's unwrap those. One, you mentioned soft skills and two, you mentioned mindset. Let's drill down a little bit. What, when you say soft skills, what specifically do you think these CFOs are thinking that young people need to be developing as far as soft skills? What does that mean?
I think I meant like soft skills and mindset kind of similar thing. So in within that category, I think there are some things it's important that CFO mentioned. So one is keep getting results. And when you get results, like do a little bit more than what you're expected to do. And two, building network. Doesn't matter inside of the company, outside of the company, build a network with your professionality. And three, have passion in your job because you're business partner. You'll be a business partner if you're CFO. So I think those three mindset or soft skills are needed.
That's great. When you say, when you're talking about building out your network, which when I'm coaching job seekers, one of the things I think a lot, especially in Japan, I find that job seekers are really good in the skills. So I see it as a kind of a, they have two things you need to work on. You have skills you need to have and network you need to have. Mm-hmm. And a lot of professionals are really weak on network. What advice would you give as far as building out networks for financial professionals?
I think it's just communication. I think it's more simple than you think. And because if you say like build, you have to build a network, you'll be kind of panicked and, you know, I don't have a network. How do I build a network? But it's always about communication, right? So like if it's inside of the company, try to communicate with your colleagues more often than you always do. And give them updates and just have a casual chat. And then you build a network. So not very complicated. It's just a simple thing. Communicate with people. And
it's great. I recently, there'll be a link maybe to a podcast I've done on managing up. Because I think a lot of mid-managers would do well to manage their bosses and their boss's boss in improving their career. I also think it's just vital, no matter what position you are, if you're ambitious and you want to grow, you need to make some key relationships outside an organization and need to know your peers. So go to networking events. We, for example, we work with the IMA or go with watch your webinars and start networking with those people that are on those webinars. That's, I think, vital for a career to grow and just to find out whether you're doing the right thing and you're paid the right amount. don't make it complex. Mm-hmm. You also spoke to Yukiko Fuji, who's the CFO at MM Capital Partners, and spoke about the importance of CFOs connecting with HQ. How do you see CFOs best interact with their overseas counterparts from the interviews that you've had?
So I think this is kind of similar to building a network. So you have to communicate well with HQ. And not only with HQ, one of the CFO mentioned it's important to build a network within APAC or other countries' CFO. Because if you're in subsidiary of foreign companies, then you have to get budget from your HQ, right? And when you get a budget from your HQ, you have to explain your market. You have to explain why Japan is so hard, but still we have a market. And sometimes HQ doesn't understand about it. But if you communicate well with your colleagues in different country, they might be able to back you up when you try to present, and they will be your teammates, right? So it's important to communicate well and build your network even outside of your region.
You spoke to Tomohiro Murata over at the CFO at VirtuSize. And I like how he spoke of CFOs needing to be accelerators. So rather than risk, he was much more about growth and accelerating, allocating cash to fuel the company. Talk a bit around that, Hisato.
Thank you. So that's another example of having passion for their work. And for Murata-san, he said like he enjoys solving problems, but he works for global like SMEs and need to do fundraising while he's doing the basic back office work, right? It's tough to manage both, right? And to do that, you have to have passion and you have to drive the business, and it's hard to find that kind of candidates. Like, companies are always looking for a kind of person having passion, being able to do both back office and also driving the business. So if you have passion, that's advantage in the market, and important to have that to become business driving type of CFO.
So it's easy to say for, you know, someone looking for a job, having passion. Let's flip it on its head for a second. How can companies, one, find these candidates that have passion, especially in Japan? And two, how do you evaluate that during an interview process?
I think how you find is very difficult. We know
you hire a good recruiter named Hisato. You put him on a retainer and he'll find you one.
Yeah, but you to find passionate candidates, you have to spend time and always build network within your industry. And that's very important. But how to evaluate if the candidate has that kind of passion is from my experience, I think they my clients try to see that from their achievements. And so this is kind of like advice for the candidates, but when they interview, and try to explain not only what you did, but how you made your achievements, like how your thinking process was and what actions you took and why you took that kind of actions. And that would explain your passion, like how you would react to situations. And companies can see your passion from that kind of stories.
Yeah, it's easy to just say, well, I did this, instead of walking an interviewer through the story, the process that and the thought process that was involved to make those decisions and accomplishments, and sometimes failures as well, and what is learned from those. So that's great, very good advice. Thank you for sharing that. So what, besides fatherhood and being a new dad, what are you working on these days? I hear a young person in the background, so awesome.
That was these are for, you know, advice for finance people that I got from CFOs, but I think this is applicable for any business person. So like I'm trying to work on keep getting results, do a little bit more than what you're expected to do, and building a network inside of the company and passionate to change people's life and enjoy my job.
That's great. And maybe in Omiyage we can leave listeners with, besides of course your favorite podcast is going to be the Focus Core podcast. I get that. And we'll just put that out there. But besides the Focus Core podcast, what other recommendations for podcasts would you have for audiences, our audience?
Yeah, I listened to all the episode of Focus Core podcast. But, and I don't listen to many podcasts, but one of the podcasts I recently loved listening to it is called Hidden Brain. It's on Google podcast. My coach, actually my coach, Corey McGowan, recommended. And they mainly talk about how brain control your life. And the episode I listened to it was, it's important to have the right mindset, kind of similar to what we talked today. And is that okay if I share one of the story?
Absolutely.
I liked
it. Yeah, share it.
Yeah, so what they talked, sometimes people feel so much stress in their life and feel like they want to run away from it, right? But if you consider stress as a bad thing, when you're having stress, what happens, right? It will give you more stress when you're having stress. So it's a chaos, right? But if you look back your life, think about experience that you had a growth in your life. Like then when I had growth in my life, I always had some kind of stress. And I was stressed at the, for example, like college sports team, at work, maybe like when I made achievements. So it's kind of changing your mindset. If you have the right mindset of stress could be needed for your growth, that will change your life and change how you see things, right? So yeah, that was interesting story from that episode.
Yeah, we have an episode with Corey McGowan, so we'll put a link to that in the show notes, because he's very insightful. Hidden Brains are very, I like the it's a good podcast, good recommendation, Hisato. Thank you. I think it's important on stress. We think of it as such a bad thing, but if you think about going skiing, for an example, one of the things, reasons we go skiing is so we can have some stress, right? You want some powder, you want a steeper hill. You go to the black hill because it gives you a thrill. If you don't go skiing on a flat surface, we'd think, oh wow, what a bad day that was. There's no snow. There's no stress. There's no snow today. Oh, well, that's not fun. Or you're going up in Guma to Corey's neck of the woods and you go whitewater rafting and it's a very calm water. Well, that's not what you signed up for. You want some white water. You want some waves to keep you going, to give you those thrills. And we forget that if you went to the work and you filled out your spreadsheet every day, and the right-hand corner adds up every day, then it is you're not growing, you're not learning, you're not developing. And that's a sad life in a lot of respects. So,
And when you have like stress, like that means you care about that. And if you don't have any stress, that means you don't have anything you care about. So that's kind of sad life, right?
Yeah.
So it's good to have stress.
We've gone very philosophical this morning, Hisato. We've given some very strong advice. I think we're going to have a follow-up conversation, I can tell. So thank you so much for sharing your insights from your webinars and your interviews. I look forward to chatting with you again about other webinars and other guests that you had. So thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Have a great day ahead.
Me too.